Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Zayin Amud Bet, 8 lines up. The Gemara now discusses Rabbi Yochanan's position. We left off with the position of the Achirim. Abaye was giving us all the positions that believe that a Sukkot is a Dirat Keva. The last of those enumerated there was the Achirim who state that a circular Sukkah is no good because it requires aviyot, it requires to have corners. And that's why they believe that the Achirim think that you need a Sukkah that is a Dirat Keva, that's a permanent structure that would include corners to it. On the other hand, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sukkah Hasuya Kikivshan, a Sukkah that is made like a furnace, Im Yesh Behekefa Kedei Leishev Ba Kaftalet Bnei Adam, if in its circumference it has sufficient space to seat 24 people, Kshera, then it's good. Bimlav psula. Otherwise, it's no good. So we start with the fact that Rabbi Yochanan clearly says that a circular sukkah is okay. It just has to have sufficient circumference in it to be a kosher sukkah. And that's what the Gemara wants to know. What is he trying to accomplish with the circumference that he's stating here? He's saying if 24 people can sit on its circumference, then it's a kosher sukkah. So in the Kiman, who is Rabbi Yochanan basing his position on? Rabbi Yochanan clearly believes that a circular sukkah is okay because you can subsume in it a square sukkah. That's how the Gemara views circular items all over Shas, is can I get in the square item or the corner that I'm looking for, like the Diyum Din that we spoke about before, the Dumat. If I have a circular pillar, can I fit in the Tefach by a Tefach Dumat into that circle? So too over here, when we're talking about a circular sukkah, the assumption is that you can fit in the square into the sukkah that would be a kosher sukkah. So one of our months, no, come on. Like, whose position is Rabbi Yochanan based on? When it says, Kirabi, the Amar kusukkah she'in ba'arba amot, al arba amot, psula. And the only sukkah that is 4x4 amot would be okay. So the assumption is that a 4x4 amah sukkah is kosher, and a circular sukkah that seats 24 people around its circumference will suffice to contain within it a 4x4 sukkah. So michte. Now the Gemara is going to go through the calculation, or work slowly towards the calculation. This is very similar to a Gemara in Eruvin. Gemara in Eruvin on Daf Ayin Vav goes through a similar calculation with regards to a circular window, and placing a square within that circular window and determining whether it's high enough up or low enough there in the Gemara. It has a very similar progression as the Gemara over here and comes to a similar conclusion in the end. The Gemara says, first of all, Gavra v'amto yotiv. Each individual takes up a square space, circular space of an amah. So therefore, if you assume that there are 24 people around, then the circumference of this circle is 24 amot. Now the Gemara says second stage, which is ko sheyesh behekefo shloshat tefachim yesh bo rochav tefach. Anytime that you have a diameter, the circumference that you gain from that diameter is 3 times the diameter. So they're using pi, or an estimation of pi. It's clear that it's not sufficient. Tosafot in the Gemara Eruvin in Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph says clearly that it's not right and that it's not exact and that pi is greater. He says Chachmei Amidot have shown us that pi is greater than 3, but the Gemara uses the number 3 similar to what is written in Sefer Melachim with regards to Shlomo Melech and the Yamshel Shlomo that gives a measurement of the diameter of the Yamshel Shlomo and then tells you the Hekef, the circumference, is 3 times that amount. Chazal, based on that, use the number 3. The Rishonim already aware of the fact that the number is greater, and then you have people like the Gra who come up with even more exact calculations of what pi is. But as far as we're concerned, for the remainder of the sugya, pi is equal to 3. So the Gemara says, well, if you have a circumference and a diameter, the relationship between them is 3 to 1. So if that's the case, betray sar sagi. If you need a sukkah that's 4x4 amot, the assumption being now that the diameter is 4 amot, like Rabbi asks for, if it's 4 amot of diameter, then behekefo, the circumference that you need is only 12 amot. And that's what the Gemara says now, betresar sagi. It would be sufficient to have 12 amot around it, because 4 amot times 3, their pi would equal 12 amot. Gemara says, hani mile bigula. That's when you're talking about a circle. Avar biribua ba'itfe. If you put a square around that, if you have a circle inscribed within a square, the square is greater than the circumference of the circle. Now we're assuming that Rabbi is the basis for Rabbi Yochanan's position. And Rabbi says you need a space of 4x4 amot. So the Gemara up front says, okay, well, 4 amot, That's the diameter of the circle, and now I get 12 amot circumference. Where it says, that's not sufficient. Just because you have a diameter of 4 amot doesn't get you a 4x4 amot sukkah. 4x4 amot sukkah is a square that is around a circle with a diameter of 4 amot. The Gemara says, okay, michte, kama meruba yoter aligu. How much greater is a square than a circle? Revia, it's greater by a quarter. Now, a quarter in the Gemara is a quarter, if you mean the bar, it's really a third that you need here. So it's 4/3. It's very easy to do the calculation of the circumference, which is that the perimeter of a square, if you have a square, then all the sides are equal to the diameter of a circle inside of it. And that means that you would take 4 times the diameter in order to get the perimeter of the square. For the circle, if pi is 3, then you would take 3 times the diameter to get the circumference of the circle. So the relationship is 4/3 between the perimeter of the square to the circumference of the circle. And that's exactly what the Gemara does now. It's 4/3 times the 12 that we had before. Circumference of the circle with a diameter of 4 is 12. And if I have the relationship that a perimeter of a square to a perimeter of a circle is 4/3, then I now have 16 amot as being the perimeter of such a square. And obviously, if you have a sukkah, as the rabbi says, it's 4x4 amot, then the perimeter of the square is 16 amot. And that's what the Gemara says now, b'shitzar sagi. It's sufficient with 16. So the Gemara says, wait, hani mili bi'igul denofik migo ribua. Wait a minute, you got this all backwards because you're starting with the circle on the inside, and now you're still putting a square around it. The square is the minimum shiur of the sukkah. But now we're talking about a circular sukkah, and we want to fit that square of 4x4 amot inside. We want to inscribe it in the circle, and therefore there's a much greater relationship. Aval, ribua denafik migu igula. In a case where you have a square inscribed inside of a circle, ba'itvei, mishum mursha de karnota. You need a greater area because of the corners. The corners of the square force the circle to be greater. The diameter of the circle now becomes the hypotenuse of the square rather than the length or width of the square. Now the Gemara goes to Pythagorean's theorem and says, Mechte, let us see. Kol amto bi ribua. Anytime you have an ama by an ama, then amto betrei chumsha balach alsona. Then the hypotenuse is 1 2/5. This is the Gemara's estimate for the square root of 2, because in Pythagorean's theorem, it's a squared plus b squared equals c squared. And here, a squared and b squared are the same because you're dealing with a square. So it's 2a squared equals c squared. If you square root both sides, then you end up with the c equaling the square root of 2. And so the square root of 2 for the Gemara is 1 2/5. So that's their estimate of the hypotenuse of such a square. So if I take 1 2/5 of a square that is 4x4 amot, what they're going to do is they're going to multiply that 1 2/5 by 4. Because that's for 1x1 amot, the hypotenuse is 1 2/5. For 4x4 amot, the hypotenuse is going to be 4 times 1 2/5. Once I do that, I end up with a hypotenuse that is 5 3/5. That is going to become the diameter of my circle. The hypotenuse of such a square will be the diameter of my circle that is circumscribed around such a square. So if the 5 3/5 is my diameter, if I want to know the circumference of such a circle, I have to multiply that by pi. So it's 3 times 5 3/5. So 5 times 3 is 15, and 3 times 3/5 is 9/5, which is 1 4/5. So I end up with 16 4/5 as being the circumference of such a circle. 16 4/5, and that's what the Gemara says now. B'shivsar nachi chumshe sagya. 17 - 1/5 will be enough, which is the equivalent of 16 4/5. So that is the circumference that I get to. I don't need 24 amot of circumference. I only need 16 4/5. Where it says, lodak, it was just rounding. It's a rounding error. Where it says, imor damrina lodak purta. Okay, you can round. When you talk about rounding, we're talking about small amounts of numbers. We're not talking about the difference between 16 4/5 and 24 when we're talking about a rounding error. Tuva mirina lodak. We don't say that in such a great differential between them. So that clearly cannot be the explanation over here. So, Amale Markshisha Breder of Chista the Ravashi. So now we have the first attempt at a solution here. Misavaret Gavra Ba'amto Yotif. Hey, how do you know that a person takes up an Amav space? Maybe it's Tlata Gavre Bitarte Amto. Yatve? It's really 3 people take up 2 amot. Or, in other words, each person takes up 2/3 of an Amah. So now, if I take 24 people, in 2/3 of an amma, I end up with 24 times the 2/3 is 16 amot, is the circumference. Right now you're talking. Now I'm talking about a rounding number. So the Gemara says, Kama havalu, shitzar is 16. Anon, we need shifzar nachikumsha, be'inon. We need 17 minus a fifth or 16 and 4/5. Gemara says, ludak, no problem. That's a rounding error. Between 16 and 16 and 4/5, that's a reasonable rounding error. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Imer da'amin and lodak l'chumra. When you round, it's okay to round up. But, l'kula mi'amin and lodak. How can you round down? Here we're talking about a halachic minimum standard. And if the minimum standard you need to get to the minimum of 16 and 4/5, and we tell you, yeah, don't worry about it, 16 is okay, that's not going to work. You don't have the minimum halachic standard that you need. So you can't round down. You would have to round up. If that's the case, that cannot be the solution. So I'm really Rav Asi the Rav Ashi. The Olam Gavro Ba'amto Yotif. So we go back to the original solution, which is that a person takes up an amma of space, and now we're back to 24. But Rabbi Yochanan Makom Gavre Lo Kochoshiv, he doesn't count that where the people are sitting. The way we've looked at it until now is that they, the 24 amot, are the circumference of the circle, because they're sitting around on the circumference of the circle. But what happens if Rabbi Yochanan believes that the people sit around, and the circumference of the circle is inside of where they are sitting? They are around the outer edge of the circle. They create the perimeter of the circle rather than the perimeter of the circle being around them. So until now we thought it was 24 amot. Now we're going to say we're going to have to move it in. So now if we had originally a circle with a circumference of 24, whose diameter was 8 amot, because 24 amot of circumference divided by pi, which is 3 for the Gemara, ends up with a diameter of 8 amot. So if I take a diameter of 8 amot and I say, I'm not counting the space where the people sit. Well, that rim around in which they sit is an amma wide. If I do that, then the diameter is chopped off by an amma on each side, because they're sitting all around the circle. So I lose an amma on this side and an amma on the other side. The diameter now of that circle will be 6 amot. A circle that has a diameter of 6 amot will be the circle that's inside of people sitting around it that are an amma wide. If that's the case, 6 amot is the diameter of the circle. Now, times pi, which is 3. I get now a circle that has a circumference of 18 amot. That would be the solution here. And that's what Gemara says. Kama avalu, tamne sari. And that is 18 amot. Gemara says, b'shibsar nachi chumshas agya. Isn't it enough with 17 minus 5th, meaning 16 and 4/5? Gemara says, hainu dolo dak. That is the point that they were not careful. They estimated the number. 18 is an estimate of the 16 and 4/5. And this time they estimate to the chumras. I mean that they're over the number, which is okay. And as long as you go up and not down on your rounding error, then we don't have a problem. If you have a circle with a circumference of 18 amot, it's clearly going to contain the 4x4 amot square within it. Because you only need 16 and 4/5 of circumference to get there. If you tell me it's 18 amot, which is a rounding number, that's fine, because you for sure got your 4x4 amot inside of it. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. 24 people sitting around it. What the circle that is inside of those 24 people, that leads you to a circle that would seat 18 amot or 18 people around it. And that is the 18 amot that Rabbi Yochanan is looking for, which is the rounding error for 16 and 4/5. As Tosafot points out, that Rabbi Yochanan clearly does not think that way. This is a suggestion of Rabbi Yochanan. It works really nicely. But Rabbi Yochanan himself cannot hold that way, because in the Gemara Erevin, he clearly says that the 24 literally means the 24 around. And he thinks that it's 24 amot around. The circumference of such a circle is 24 amot. And the Gemara is about to make the same mistake that Rabbi Yochanan made in the Gemara and Erevin in terms of the calculation. And that's based on a relationship that the Rabbanon de Kezari, Rabbi Lo Dayane de Kezari, Amre, they set up some theorems. And based on these theorems, the Gemara is going to go make a calculation to get to the 24 amot. And that calculation is clearly incorrect. Rashi tries to explain what the mistake was. Tosafot tries to explain what the mistake was. And then there are other Rishonim who try to come up with the answer and show that it can be true. Now, the answer is that it can be true, what they're saying. It's not a problem in the Rabbanon de Kezari. It's not a problem with the theorems. The theorems work. It's just the application of the theorems that is done incorrectly over here. As Tosafot points out here, he pointed out before in Erevin, we said that pi is not exact. He also points out that the Pythagorean theorem of 1 2/5 is not exact either, and that it's really a little more than that. And he goes through, you can see here, he does it pictorially. He proves to you that if you opened up a circle and made it into a square, that the size of that square would not come out to what you expect. He says, based on the Gemara's calculation, you would come out with 49 square amot instead of 50 square amot. So he shows clearly that the 1 2/5 is not a proper estimate. It needs to be bigger than 1 2/5, which is correct. That the square root of 2 is a little bigger than that. And because of that, you're going to be off by a little bit in your calculations. He notes that. But now, the Gemara says that there's a relationship. These Dayanei Dekar, the Rabbanan de Kezari say, Igula, the Nofik Migo Ribua. When you have a circle that is inscribed inside of a square, Riva, the relationship is a quarter. So now, just to work through the calculation here, this happens to be true both for perimeter and for diameter. It's true in both instances, and this, I think, is what throws off the Gemara and Rabbi Yochanan in the application of the second principle. This first principle works because of the relationship, the way that they have pi calculated as 3. Because of that, the relationship works in both directions. It works both for perimeter and for area. So let us start with the perimeter. The perimeter of a square, which we already determined before, is 4 times the diameter of a circle that's inscribed inside of the square, because the diameter is equal to the length or the width of a square in that case, because the circle touches the edges of the square, and therefore the diameter will be equal to the length and the width of the square. So to get the perimeter of the square, you would need 4 times that diameter. To get the perimeter of the circle, according to the Gemara, you need 3 times that diameter. So the relationship between them is 4 over 3, 4 thirds, as we discussed before. And that's what it means. Kama ruba yeter al igul is revia. It's 1 quarter greater than that, and that is milabar. It's equivalent to 1 third milagav. You multiply by a third, then you get the amount that you're looking for. Whereas, if you put the circle on top of the square, the circle's relationship is 3 quarters of the perimeter of the square. And that is what? Igula migo ribua is riva. That's the quarter that you're looking for. You reduce it by a quarter, and that's a quarter milagav. So a quarter milagav will give you the relationship from the square down to the circle, and a quarter milabar will give you the relationship between the circle to the square on the outside. And so you can do that. You get 4 is the perimeter of the square, and 3 is the perimeter of the circle, multiplied by whatever diameter you have there. That relationship stands, and what they're saying is correct. So if I had a circle, for instance, in this case, if I happened to have a circle like before that has a perimeter of 12, if I multiply it by the additional quarter that I'm looking for over here, which is, there I'm going to multiply a third times 12 is an additional 4, gets you to the 16. And the other way around, if I have 16 amot as the perimeter of the square, then you multiply it by a quarter, and then I get 4, and I subtract it, I get down to 12, which is the circumference of the circle, and that works in both directions. You have 16 amot being the perimeter of the square and 12 amot being the perimeter of the circle. The same is true in area. Now, if you do the area of such a square, the area of a square is going to be the length times the width. Over here, the length times the width is the same as length times length or width times width because it's square. So therefore, the diameter of the circle squared will give you the area of the square. On the other hand, for the circle on the inside, we know that the area of a circle is determined by pi r squared. So that's the equivalent of pi is, the equivalence of pi is 3. R squared here is half of the diameter. So it's going to be half of the diameter squared is going to give you the area of the circle. If I look at that relationship, I have pi half d squared, which is the equivalent of 3 quarters d squared. So now if that's 3 quarters d squared and the area of the square is d squared, then I've come back down to the same relationship that I had, which is that if I know the area of the square, 3 quarters of that area will be the circle. Because if d squared equals 16, then 3 quarters of d squared is 12. And the area of such a circle that has a diameter of 4, the area inside of it will be 12. Because if you take 4 and the radius of 4 is 2, 2 squared is 4, and then you multiply that by the pi, 3, you get 12. And so that relationship also stands for the area of a circle vis-a-vis a square when the circle is inscribed inside of the square. So if you take the area of the square, that's 16, and if you take a quarter of the square and you subtract it, it'll be 4, you subtract it from the 16, you get 12, and you end up with the right number. So if you know that the perimeter of the square is 16, then you know that the perimeter of the circle inscribed in it is 12. And if you know that the area of the square is 16, then the area of the circle contained within inside of it is also 12. So that works both for perimeter and area. So far, so good. Problem comes up in the next statement, which is, Ribua, the nafik mikoi gula, pogo. A circle that is circumscribed around a square, the relationship is a half. Now over here, there's a difference between perimeter and area. What the Rabbeinu de Kezari say is true with regards to area, with regards to shetach. It is not true with regards to perimeter. What the Gemara does over here is assumes that the relationship or the theorem that is stated here can be used for perimeter as well as area. I'll prove to you in a second that it works by area and does not work by perimeter. But in the interim, what they've done is said, listen, if I have a square on the inside that is 4 by 4 amot, that means 16 amot is the perimeter of such a square. If I put a circle around it and the relationship is a half, that means that if I take the 16 amot, a perimeter of the square, and I multiply by half, that means 8. 16 plus 8 is 24 amot. Ah, I got my solution that I'm looking for. Rabbi Yochanan says 24 amot of circumference gets me a square of 4 by 4 amot in the middle. And it works great. I now have a 4 by 4 amot square in the middle. That's what I'm looking for. And the circumference of such a circle circumscribed around it is 24 amot, based on this relationship of a half. The circumference of the square is 16. If I multiply it by half, meaning 1.5, I'll get my circumference of the circle outside being 24. And the Gemara is happy. The Gemara answers, Valohi, it's not true. You just look at it and you know that's not true. It says, take a look, it just doesn't work. The relationship is not true. Now, what they have done is that the theorem of the Rabbanon de Kezari is applicable by area. It is not applicable by perimeter. Now, it's easy to understand why they made such a mistake. They made such a mistake because the first theorem works, both by perimeter and by area. When you have a circle inscribed in a square, that relationship is true in both instances. It's true both for the area and the perimeter. So you take the second theorem and they go, okay, so maybe it should apply both equally to shetach, meaning to area, as it does to hekef, it should work for the perimeter as well. That is how Tosafot explains the mistake that was made here by the Gemara. It's obvious if you do the calculations, that's what happened over here, that they used a principle of area and applied it to perimeter. So now we'll discuss after that what the solution is, or what really happened over here, and why the Rabbanan de Kesari are correct. The easy way to understand it is that just they were talking about area. So if you're talking about area, the area of such a square we know is 16. It's 4 by 4. 4 by 4 amot gives you a 16 amot squared. That is the area of such a square. The circle that circumscribes that, the diameter of such a circle, is the Pythagorean's theorem, which is the 4 times a square root of 2. 4 times the square root of 2, which the Gemara estimates at 1 2/5. So that means that the Gemara thinks that the diameter of such a circle is 5 3/5, which is what we determined before. So if you take that, the 5 3/5, and then you have it and square it, and then you multiply it by pi, you'll end up with the relationship that is the relationship that the Dayane Kaisari say. Because it's the equivalent of saying, if you don't use numbers, it's easier to do it just with the representative numbers, which is, if the diameter is the length of the square or the width of the square, it doesn't really matter, times the square root of 2 divided by 2 squared. That means that you're going to come up with 2 times the length squared divided by 4, because that's when you square it, which means a half. It's a half the length squared times 3 is 1.5. 3 over 2 is the relationship for the circle on the outside. And basically what it says is that if the area of the square on the inside is 16, that means the relationship of 3 over 2 makes the circle on the outside have an area that is 24. So the area of such a circle would be 24 if the area of the square on the inside is 16. And that relationship works. Now that what they stated, that it's a half. You have 3 over 2, that is 16, and multiply 3 over 2, you get 24, and it works. For area, it works fine. Problem is when you come to perimeter, it does not work. The perimeter of such a square is 4 times any one of the sides, which is 4L, and the perimeter of such a circle is pi d, but d here is the hypotenuse. So the hypotenuse is going to be L times the square root of 2. So you take L times the square root of 2 times 3, then you get 4 over 3 times the square root of 2, and that ends up being, if you use the Gemara's assumption of 1.4 or 1 2/5 for that square root of 2, it ends up being a relationship of 4 over 4.2. And so the relationship is nowhere near the relationship that you're looking for in area by circumference. It doesn't even come close to the number that we're looking for. And what they tried to do was use that theorem that works by area and apply it to circumference. And all of a sudden we're running into a problem because it just doesn't work. And that's why the Gemara says that you take a look at it, it doesn't work. Rashi solved the problem by saying that the Rabbanon de Kesari had a different Pythagorean's theorem. Their Pythagorean's theorem ended up that it wasn't that it was 1 2/5, but rather it was a relationship of 1 to 2. A square that was 1 by 1, their hypotenuse was 2. And doing that, the theorem works then. Rashi here, that's some sort of extrapolation to get to the number that they're looking for. He doesn't explain the thesis behind it. Eruvin, he has one line there that says this, that the hypotenuse was 2, and that's how he solves the problem. But it's clearly wrong. Tosafot says that it's obvious that that can't be the case. Nobody in their right mind would think that hypotenuse is 2 times the size of such a triangle, and it wouldn't work. Tosafot comes up with a different solution. His solution is very interesting because the way that I explained it, the relationship is correct, and the numbers work for area, but the quarter that we mentioned and the half we mentioned are different. The relationship works in different directions. In one case, we're saying that you take the square, and then you take a quarter off of it, and then you end up with the area of the circle inside. And the other way, we're saying you take the square, and then you add a half on top of that. You multiply by 1.5, and you get the circle, the area of the circle on the outside. So what we're using as the reference point changes in the two instances. So Tosafot comes up with a solution that's interesting, and he says that the Rabbanan de Kesari were speaking about a case where you have a square, then you have a circle inscribed in the square, and then you have another square inscribed inside of that circle. And the relationship that they're speaking about is always in reference to that outer square. So the outer square is always the reference point, and that reference point is, if I have the outer square and put the circle inside of it, what's the relationship between that outer square and the inner circle? And that's the quarter. That's the first statement of the Rabbanan de Kesari. Then what's the relationship between the inner square and the outer square? That is half of the outer square. And you can prove it. I sent it out in the pictures there. And you can prove that Tosafot is right, that the circle inside of the square is 3/4 of the outer square, and the square inside of the square is 1/2 of the outer square. If you inscribe a circle inside of a square and then a square inside of that circle, you'll get that relationship that you're looking for. Tosafot goes that route because he wants to show the relationships are consistent, that you're always using a single reference point in order to get the relationship. So therefore he uses an outer square and uses that as the reference point for both the statements of the Rabbanan de Kesari. Even though I showed you that the Rabbanan de Kesari work, they work by having the reference point be different in each case. In one case, the reference point is the square on the outside, and the relationship has to do with the square to the circle. In the next case, we have the circle around the square. It's the relationship from the square to the circle. It's not crazy, because in both cases, you're looking at the circle on the outside or on the inside, and therefore the relationship should be different, because you're referencing it. Tosafot doesn't like it, because he says they should have made their statement consistent. It should always be the outer item to the inner item, or the inner item to the outer item, and that's not the case here. The way that they state it always ends up being that the reference is to the circle vis-a-vis the square, and therefore you'll turn out the relationship is different in each instance because of that. All right, that's the way Tosafot solves the problem. There are other Rishonim that, including the Gra, who come up with other solutions to the problem. Again, the simplest solution is, and Tosafot himself says it, is that the Rabbanan and the Kesari are not incorrect. They are right. They used a theorem, but a theorem of area. And Rabbi Yochanan and the Gemara tried to apply it to circumference, and that's what caused the problem. But the Gra and others tried to come up with a solution that says that they did apply it correctly, and it would have worked in this instance to get you the circumference that you were looking for. There are those that want to suggest over here that when Rabbi Yochanan said, Sukah suyaki kivshan, mish behe kifa kidei leshev bat gaf dalet ben adam ksheira, imlap sula, does not mean that Rabbi Yochanan thinks that you're sitting 24 people around the circumference of the circle, but rather, you have a circle whose circumference incorporates or encompasses 24 people inside of it, meaning the area of the circle is 24 amot squared. If you have a circle whose area is 24 amot squared, then the circumference of such a circle will incorporate within it a square that is 4 by 4 amot. And that would be true, because we just proved that the Rabbanan de Kesari, their statement is true with regards to area. And the Rabbi Yochanan's statement is really about area. And the Ritva over here says that the last line in the Gemara of Elohi was an addition of the Rabbanan Sovarai, the later Rabbanan, and was not a part of the original Gemara. And that would be understandable if you explain Rabbi Yochanan that way. It's a nice solution, but it's very difficult based on the Gemara in Eruvin, because the Gemara in Eruvin reads Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chalon Agol, Tzarech Shei Behekefo, Esrim V'Arba Tefachim. That it sounds there that the circle is actually speaking about the circumference rather than the area inside. Our Gemara has some additional language, which is Miyesh Behekefa Kedei L'Shev Ba. L'Shev Ba could be inside and could be talking about area. But over there, it seems to be indicating that the Hekef, the circumference itself, is 24 Tefachim. And that means Rabbi Yochanan is clearly talking about circumference and not area. Again, that solution focuses on the fact that the Rabbanan de Kesarei are correct in that relationship with regards to area, not about perimeter. The only thing that explanation adds is that maybe Rabbi Yochanan also was speaking about area. It's possible to read that way in the Gemara in Sukkah. It's much more difficult in the Gemara in Eruvin to ascribe that position to Rabbi Yochanan. All right, now we move on to the remainder here of our Mishnah, which is Amar Rabbi Levi Mishum Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Levi says in the name of Rabbi Meir, Shtei Sukkot Shel Yotzrim Zu Lifnim Mizu. You have two Sukkot of a craftsman. Here's a craftsman who makes earthenware utensils. Hapnimit Eina Sukkah. The inner one cannot be used as a Sukkah. V'chayevet B'mizuzah. And you got to put a mezuzah in it. V'chitzunah Sukkah. The outer one can be used as Sukkah. Uptura Mina Mizuzah. It does not require a mezuzah. V'amai. What's the problem here? Te'ave Chitzunah K'beit Shar Hapnimit. Why isn't the outer Sukkah the equivalent of a gateway to the inner house of the yotzer, v'titchayev v'mezuzah, and that'll be chayev v'mezuzah. It says mishum delo kviya, because it's not permanent. So we have a number of items that are going on over here. First of all, the inner area. The inner area is the living quarters of this craftsman. The outer area is his workshop. He lives inside on the inner side, and then the outer sukkah is where he does his work and where he makes his sales that people come to see his work. So the Gemara says that the inner area is the living space, is a permanent location. It's a direct keva. It's a direct keva, requires a mezuzah. Why can't he put a sukkah on there? Why can't he make that a sukkah? It's because the Gemara says it doesn't look like he made a sukkah. It's a problem not of making a sukkah l'shem chag. We pass him like Beit Hillel, that you don't have to make a sukkah l'shem sukkot. You just have to make a sukkah l'shem tzel. As long as it's made for shade, you're okay. The way the Gemara states it here is because it's kavua and because he lives there all year round, it's no good. So it could be because he makes no change to the item, but that may not be sufficient because not making change to item is not a criterion for sukkah. Sukkah, as long as it was made for shade and shelter, is a good sukkah. You don't have to make any changes to it in order for it to be good. The Gemara says here, because he lives there all year round, you have to move. To be in a sukkah, you have to move from your permanent dwelling place to a temporary dwelling place. He's asking when people put a roof in their house and then they open it up and make a sukkah, is that sufficient? It could be sufficient for two reasons. One is you're making a change in the roof, so that could be enough to make the difference because you've just now made a change and it's not exactly what it was before. You made a change to it, so it's different than our case over here. But in addition to that, you don't live in your dining room, you don't live in your living room where you're putting the sukkah. Now you're going to move your entire existence into that singular room, and that's different than it was utilized before. Same as your gazebo. You didn't live in your gazebo before. You lived in your house, and now you're moving out to the gazebo. That changes the way that you're utilizing it. So for that reason, the Gemara says, number one, the inner sukkah is considered to be a permanent location, so it needs a mezuzah. Number two is, can't use it for sukkah because he's not making any change in his lifestyle or in the house itself. The outer area is okay to use for a sukkah. First of all, it's okay to use for a sukkah because he doesn't live there. If he moves from his inner area to the outer area, even though this was a sukkah all year round, it was covered, it had tzchach on it, he can move out because he doesn't live there all year round. When he moves out there, it's clear that he's moving into the sukkah for the purposes of living in the sukkah, not because it's his house, because that is his workshop usually, not his house. And so because of that, when he moves out there, that's classified as a sukkah, and it can be yotzei with sukkah. Now, as far as mezuzah is concerned, why doesn't he require a mezuzah? The Gemara says, because it's a dirat arai. Dirat arai does not require a mezuzah. The Gemara says, forget dirat arai. It's an entranceway into his inner area, which is considered to be a dirat keva. Your gates require a mezuzah. The Gemara says, no, because it's only temporary. Since it's a dirat arai, it also becomes like a shar arai, and therefore it doesn't require a mezuzah. The Rishonim all here ask from the Gemara and Yoma, we had this in the Gemara and Yoma, that even a Dirat Arai, when you have a Shar that's there, we said that a Shar does require a mezuzah, like in the Beit HaMikdash, when the Kohen Gadol lived in the room for 7 days, then we still put on it, maybe it needs a mezuzah for the Shar going in. Tosafot talks about different answers, and one of the answers that he speaks about is that it might be a Din Derabonim versus a Din Doraita. Din Doraita requires Bayit HaMiyuchad Lecha. You have to have a bayit that's miyuchad for you in order to have a mezuzah on it, and then in order to have the shar require a mezuzah de'oraita. Over here, the shar might require a mezuzah de'rabanan, mat mi de'oraita. And so the question of mezuzah that we're talking about in these different locations might have to do with the din derabanan versus din deraita. Over here, we might be talking about din derabanan that might say you are required to put up mezuzah anyway in this instance because of it being a shar. So even though it's not a shar kavua. Maran Yoma that was speaking about it was talking about the din deraita and therefore it's patur mi mezuzah. Now, the Gemara says, Tana Banan, Ganbach, when it comes to Ganbach, Ganbach is an acronym for the following items, which is Sukkat Goyim, Sukkat Nashim, Sukkat Be'ema, and Sukkat Putim. So these are all Sukkot that were made, not the Shem Sukkah, but they are made, the Sukkah, the Shem Tzel. They're made for shade. And that is a non-Jewish Sukkah, Sukkah of women, Sukkah for animals, and the Sukkah for a Kuti. Sukkah Mikol Makom. Any type of Sukkah, Ksheira. All of those are Ksheira, Buvajay Misokhechet Kehilchata. As long as it has schach on it, that qualifies as kosher schach, then you have a kosher sukkah. So my kehil chata, what does kehil chata mean? I'm Rav Chista, v'hush asa l'tzel sukkah, that it was made for shade. The way the Rishonim look at it here, it's obvious that it has to qualify with all the halachot of schach, otherwise it's just not a sukkah. The only question, what does it mean kehil chata over here, means that the original intent that was put into it has to be made for shade. As long as it's made for shade, it's a kosher sukkah. Because sukkah comes from the word sachacha, and sachacha, based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, also tells us it's protect you from the sun, to give you protection from the elements. It has to be halachically correct. That's what the Gemara assumes here, that the sachach was done correctly. Most normal people build the walls and then put the roof on top, because you need the support in order to put the roof on top. And so in all likelihood, the walls were there, or at least the frame of the walls were there, which is enough. Yapia tikra yored besultain. It's enough to put up sachach. Then even if you put the walls afterwards, you still have kosher sachach. So the assumption is, if it's made for shade, you're okay. The Gemara says, sukkah mikol makom. The tuye mai. What does that come to include? A tuye sukkat rakbash. Comes to include this acronym, which is, the Tan Rabbanan. Sukkat rakbash, which is sukkat roim, sukkah of the shepherds, sukkat haitzim, which are the sukkah of those that are guarding or watching their fruit dry in the field. This is where kayitz comes from, to dry the fruits out. The same word as muksa. All of these words are derivatives of this idea that they used to lay their fruits out in the field to dry over the summer. And they said, so the kayatsim are these people that are watching their fruits dry in the field. Sukkat borganim, sukkah of those people, the travelers, or they're guarding their fields. Sukkat shomrei peirot, the sukkah for those people that are watching the fields or the orchards. Sukkah mikom makom ksheira, all of these sukkot are ksheira. Ubavad shedei mesukhechet keilchata, as long as it has schach, keilchata, my keilchata. What's Allah Amr of Chista, which I saw the tell sukkah. As long as it's made for shade, then you're okay. Now, mikoma kom latuye mai. What is sukkah mikoma kom to conclude here? Latuye sukkah ganbach. To conclude the other braita. So you have two braitot. One braita says that sukkah ganbach is good. And then the term at the end that says includes any type of sukkah, which makes it sound like the other sukkot are lower level than this, is including sukkah rakbash. Then I have a braita that says sukkah rakbash is a sukkah. And then I have any sukkah works, and they're coming to include ganbach, which makes it sound like ganbach is the lower level of sukkah. So you have two braitot, each viewing these eight sukkot in a different way. Four of them are the primary types of sukkot, and four of them are secondary type of sukkot. And that's what the Gemara wants to know. Why did each braita view it in that way? And that's what the Gemara says here. Hai tana de ganbach. The tana of ganbach, alimalei ganbach. Why does he say that the sukkah of ganbach is a better sukkah? Bishum de kiviyeh. Because those are permanent sukkot. Sukkat goyim, sukkat nashim, the sukkat beiman, sukkat kutim, are structures that are going to stay there permanently. And then he comes to include rakbash, which are temporary sukkot. Those are people that are there for durations of time, not fully or permanently there. Someone's out guarding their fruits in the field while they're drying out. It's only there during the season that they dry the fruits. Someone who's shomrei peirot is in the orchards when the fruits are in the orchard. The sukkah of the roeh is based on where he is. He moves around with the grazing of the animals. So those are sukkot that move. So therefore he says, ganbach are the core or the primary type of sukkot. The secondary ones are the rakbash, which are the temporary sukkot. So he says, look, ganbach are kosher because those are permanent sukkot made for shade. Those are fine. Secondarily, also rakbash is good because those are made for shade as well, but there are temporary dwellings and that works. So therefore, he wrote it in that way. V'hai tana de rakbash, the tana that included rakbash is the primary sukkot. Alimalei rakbash. Why did he say rakbash is the primary type of sukkah? The b'nei chiyuva ninu. Because all those sukkot are individuals who are Jewish, who are chayav in sukkah. They're Jewish males that are chayav in sukkah. And therefore, the sukkot that they build is for people who are bar chiyuva. V'tana mikol makom. And then it brings a secondary sukkot, v'atuye ganbach. Ganbach are all sukkot that are built by people who either have no shaykhut to Sukkah, or who are not chayavot in Sukkah. You're talking about a goy, an isha, puti, and behema, all of which are not either chayavim or relevant inside of Sukkah. Dela b'nei chiyuva ninu. Because they are separate, a goy and a kuti. The Gemara, when the censors got to it, they changed many of the times the word goy or something else to kuti. Because of that, our Gemaras read like kuti and goy are interchangeable, but that's not true. The Gemara spoke about a kuti, they were speaking about a very specific group of individuals who were found in the Shomron in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara deals with what the status of those kutiim were, whether they were gerei arayot, whether they were gerei emet, and then later on went off to derech, but kuti, we refer to a very specific demographic. Kuti has a different status than a goy. Goy has one status, he's not Jewish. The kuti might have been chayav in sukkah at one point. It depends on what you think the status of a kuti is. But they're a different demographic and you can't use them interchangeably. The Gemara in many places, the Mishnah especially, differentiates between kuti and a goy. Now, again, they got mixed up because once the censors got to it, they changed the word goy or they changed certain things that they felt offensive to kuti all over the place. And now we see kuti as being interchangeable with goy. But they're not really interchangeable words, and that's why the Gemara separates between kuti and goy. Okay, we'll stop over here.